Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. And joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Artie, give him a shout-out. All right, I feel like Artie might be coming up a lot on this podcast. Joining me also in the studios are comedians, writers, extraordinaires, TV stars, well, for now, streaming stars, soon to be TV stars, Jake Wiseman and Matt Inga Bretson.
Bretson, you got it.
Inga Bretson, fuck, I was so scared. If you understand.
The fear in your eyes as that name started coming out, yeah.
I even told myself before I said it, I was like, say Matt's name first because you're confident to finish with Jake. Yes.
It's good that he's white, so it's not, it's just you can't remember it.
Yeah,
it's like, not just sort of like an ignorance thing.
It's not, my tongue doesn't do Nigerian. Yeah. You know, it's at least be like, I don't get that. Like, I have Ify Wadaway, who's been a guest on my podcast before. Mm-hmm. I've known him forever, and I think he just, like, 10 years in, he's like, this is how you say my last name.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it's not so you have someone on your podcast that you're all of a sudden self-conscious about.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How the fuck do I say
it? I've been saying it wrong for 10 years. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah.
I'm glad I never said it in front of you. It's like the word Hermione. You never said it out loud until like see the movie and you're like, oh,
you're
shit.
Like, thank God someone said that before I did. Because I wanted to talk about Harry Potter. I really did, but that would have been awful.
Guys, well, thanks for coming to the High and Mighty Studios.
Thanks for having us. It's lovely
to be
here.
Regal and ornate, and you have a lovely place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You guys are whoring yourself out to everybody, like, doing them all right now.
Oh, yeah. We're total whores.
Yeah. Full court push.
It feels good, but bad. You know what I mean?
We're being so bad right now.
It's glad that everyone says yes, because there's, like, a built-in sort of reason for them to talk to us, but it does feel bad to ask people you respect for anything.
Right. Oh,
it's just, and it's so obvious, so transparent, we, like, need a push for the show, so it's like, can I do your podcast? I love your podcast. Yeah. And I do, but
I just listened to 10 episodes, so I feel comfortable asking you, hey, man, so Arthur, huh? Yeah. Negative reviews. Uh-huh. What's up? Can I do your podcast?
You're a fuckboy. Wow.
All right. Yeah. Cool. Hey, but I think you guys should understand that podcast hosts are dying for guests.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you're like, I don't think, same thing, I don't think I'd ever reach out and be like, hey, Jake, do you want to come on and talk about
it's
cats
all just
or
a lot of self-conscious people who need each other in order to survive.
But you can never admit you need someone else.
Never.
That's the
I
hard
don't need
part.
You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be talking about cats and dogs.
Damn.
Whoa. And it's raining today. How perfect.
Oh, my God.
But before we get into all that, let me do a little something called 5-star reviews, where if you rate me 5 stars on the iTunes app, and I don't even know if this shit even matters. Like, I'm not gaining new listeners, so I don't know how this algorithm works. But at this point, I just want you guys to get your venom out of your system. So if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments or shit on me in the comments, I'll read it aloud on the... I'm turning to you to explain it as if, like, it matters. It's just, I'm a natural hand talker. Okay, this is called The One-Ton Fuckboy by Kaj. This pile of diabetes has been desperately trying to fill the void in the CBB universe left by Harris Whittle's untimely passing. Weird. But it's ironic that while Gabrus is larger than Harris's entire coffin was, he'll never be able to fill Harris's shoes. I imagine it would be more entertaining to watch a live feed from inside Harris's coffin than it is watching this poorhouse make his way into his own early grave. I only continue listening to hear his breakdown when his wife leaves him for some 285-pound heartthrob with an intact libido. Period. Racism isn't funny.
Oh my God. Wow. Jesus.
Do you feel now there's a lot there.
There's a lot to unpack there, yeah.
My first question is a little off what he's saying. How do you feel when people bring up your wife? Is there a rage response? Like when, you know what I mean? Like, do you want to choke him out?
It's weird because I guess I asked for it by bringing it up, but I also don't want to be the guy who's on my podcast who makes it seem at all like I've not been with the same woman for 15 years.
Right.
But then when anyone, I don't mind when someone says your wife, but when someone says some shit like, and Tiff, blah, blah, blah. I one time said, I know I'm home on Long Island when I let the dog out into the yard, but I stay out longer than him smoking weed. Because that's what I do. I'm not allowed. My mom, I have to hide it from my mom at 36.
Yeah.
So I made some tweet like that. And someone replied like, that's no way to talk about Tiff. And like they were, and this is like, I can get into the whole fundamental thing about Twitter where it's like, you don't have to tag my jokes. Unless you're my friend. And even then, don't do it.
Yeah.
But like someone, and I just like, it's like, the expression "keep my wife's name out of your mouth" just like hit me. I was like, "Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth." That right. is like not your joke to make.
Yes,
I feel bad because I open it up to be like, I'm so self-deprecating. I'm like, so when I meet people in person, they're constantly like swinging some, taking some swing with.
So here's my POV. I love it. No, I'm just kidding. Because I felt enraged when he said that.
Right. Yeah. I don't love when someone says my wife, but I guess like, how else are you going to really take shots at someone?
Right.
Like, if they are immune, like you got to go to moms and wives.
Do
and
you feel hurt by any, what have any of these hurt you?
Some of them, the ones that are really upsetting are the ones that somehow it seems like they had a fucking tap in my inner monologue.
Yeah,
you know, where they're like, well, this guy really screams a lot, but he's clearly covering up his lack of insecurity. And he watches as all his famous friends continue on with success. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's enough.
The one that's like fat little dick fucking curb stomped by his own parent. Like, that shit doesn't affect me. The stuff when it starts to get a touch, my actual insecurities. Yeah. Where,
what is this fucking person's obsession with Harris Whittles?
I know.
What is going on
here?
I'm
uncomfortable even saying Harris's name
it's
that many
weird.
Times.
It's weird. It's not
podcast.
Really funny to talk about, and you're just bringing it up. This person's been dead for a while, and you're still thinking about him all the time. Like, this is, that kind of undoes the review a little bit for me. Like, this is a weird, you're a weird person, but keep listening to the show.
You're objectively.
But also, we support you and love you.
To be honest, I don't give a fuck if this guy keeps listening to the show or not.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to the Analyze Fish. This one's called Shen Rage. By Shen Rage, it's called Gravy. If you want to listen to 320 pounds of mashed potatoes talk about not having a career so he can get paid for mattress and underwear ads, look no further. Gabrus makes understanding comedy easy. If you aren't sure which parts of his meaningless rants are punchlines, don't worry. He'll laugh hysterically at his own jokes to indicate what was supposed to be funny. The best volume to listen to this podcast is on mute. 5 stars. That was Shen Rage, solid work.
Pretty good.
God, man, just as I said.
Yeah. I had when I was in 7th grade, when I was just starting to like think of myself as funny and make jokes in class, I was in this group and the girl I had a crush on, I like told this joke and everyone laughed. And I used to laugh like this, like kind of like a Beavis and Butthead laugh.
Were you like preternaturally tall in 7th grade?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
So the tall, like fucking
tall, lanky. Yeah. Just an idiot. And
teachers are like, good luck, asshole.
So I told this joke, laughed at my own joke. And then this girl I had a crush on said, was laughing. He said, Matt, I don't laugh at your jokes. I just laugh at the way that you laugh.
Oof.
And
that's
I then
you
changed.
Can't come during sex.
Yeah, that's right. Then I changed my laugh after that. I like,
no!
I like went deep inside of myself and changed myself fundamentally after that moment.
Oh, shit. Oof. But in reality, that's like your soulmate, if someone who enjoys your laughter to the point. But you don't know that at 7th grade.
That's
where
right.
You're like, eventually you'll like be looking into a woman's eyes or a man's or whatever your thing is. You'll be looking into a partner's eyes on a dais and just go like, and it's your laugh that is the music to my ears.
Yeah, I should have married her.
you should just drop to one knee like that in there. Oh man, 7th grade is when you started to feel like you were funny.
sixth, seventh grade was when I was like, I don't have the looks. Right. I can't do it on that. And especially at that time, I was a bad looking person.
But you got that juice when you made like, yes. I still to this date, this is so backwards misogynistic to say, but yeah. I do a better comedy show if there's a number of women in the crowd. Like if I see a bunch of women, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like, yeah. All right, boys.
Back in like ninth grade trying to impress
them. I really like the idea of someone in sixth or seventh grade being like, I got the looks.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything else. I got the looks. Yeah. They delivered me the looks.
Time to just coast.
They don't know they have the looks until they no longer have the looks. Yep, that's and they're like, right. Shit, did I just coast on looks?
Fuck. This whole time? And now I have nothing.
And now, yeah. No one cares that I played lacrosse at Adelphi. Okay. Well, one last one, and then we'll get into it. You're the Son I Never Had, S-U-N, by Cade Cody. I gave you 5 stars because you do actually closely resemble a very important star, the sun. Not in the way that you shine a light that give everything on Earth, but more in the way that you're 860,000 miles in diameter and no one wants to touch you.
That's like a very, yeah, I mean, I appreciate the attempt. That, like, right. It's like, oh, they're trying to make a metaphor or is it a simile?
Did they say like or as? I didn't see it. Yeah, like, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. Yeah, no, it's solid.
It's solid. They're trying. It's great. I'm glad they got to eat a popsicle and then get the joke.
Yeah, it's like, wow, nice job. You wrote something.
Uh-huh. And believe it or not, that will be the end of me talking about myself. But that is 5-star reviews, guys. Rate me 5 stars. Roast me in the comments. Let's turn it to Jake and Matt.
Here we go.
Let's talk. Hey. You guys talk for 2 minutes about dogs and cats. I go, watch Carpet. Thanks for coming out, guys. Jake, 2 things I know about you. I don't really know you outside of the internet, but you like cats and knives.
That is true.
So the 2 things. So when you said you want to come on the podcast, I was like, I usually have a topic. Do you want to talk about cats or knives? And you're like, well, Matt wants to come and he's a dog guy. And I was like, here's the argument I want
to
have.
So happy to talk about cats. I will tell you, though, the sort of paranoia I felt or sort of like when you go, what's something about you that you like? And I was like, oh, my God, I don't
I have nothing.
I'm nothing. And I was like, I guess I like cats. And like, but the idea of like, what are you interested in was a terrifying thing. I'm like, I don't do anything.
But it's also hard to cop to. Too.
Yeah.
Like you eventually sent a follow up email. It's like, I also am like weirdly obsessed with Kanye.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, I was thinking for racking his brain for a while.
I was like, it really made me go, I should kill myself. Like, I don't have any interest. I'm not interesting. I'm not.
I would say suicide is a major interest.
Suicide
of yours.
Is definitely in there. But like other people have done it better because they've done it. Right? Yeah. So I love cats. I grew up with cats because my father didn't want dogs in the house and we really wanted a pet. So we had cats and it felt like almost like an orientation. I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing for the first 11 years of my life.
Did you have one cat or multiple cats?
We start with one cat named Shoki. And the litters are off. I don't know how it is with dogs, but litters are often named sort of as a group. Yeah. So they were named after like, it was like the Battle of Shokan or the General Shokan. It's like, it was named was Shoki and
I don't know
how
dogs are named, but traditionally cats are named after esoteric battles.
We had one cat that had like curled ears and his name was F. Scott Fitzcurled. And it was really dumb, but it's a fun, honestly, the cat people, we are people, we're mentally ill deeply, and so we do name things in a really fun way that is sad, but it's fun, and we're dealing the best we can with what we were given.
Yeah, can I armchair psychoanalyze? Like, I feel like cat people are often, at least people who openly call themselves cat people and say, yeah, we're fucking weird cat people. It's something about choosing an animal to give love to that doesn't truly can give it back.
Well, this is it's like getting into a relationship with someone who's deeply mentally ill and you like are trying to save them.
Right. Well, that's like this is one of my main issues with dog people. Yeah. Especially.
And now just to preface all this, Jake and I have been talking about cats and dogs like this for about 7 years. And so there's a lot of baggage coming with this.
Yeah. Matt and I were recently writing together and I said something about dogs and he got up. I could see he wanted to hit me.
Sometimes,
and we've been having this this discussion forever.
Sometimes
and he
this
got
discussion
very
is
mad.
Not fun. For
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah.
So, oops. I love cat. No, it's fun because yeah. I love cats very much, and I'm an ardent fan. And I also think because when I was growing up, I'm a straight male, and I love cats, and I didn't realize that other men didn't really like cats, or it wasn't technically a male
it was
thing
not a masculine
to like
thing.
Cat, whatever yeah. if you decide that masculinity and femininity are like the binary things we were taught growing up,
right?
It's like, no, men don't like cats. A man with cats, what is he, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm almost positive when I was a kid I thought all dogs were boys and all cats were
right
girls.
And it's taught that way. So my issue with this thing about like cat people liking things that won't love them back and they're mentally ill is like, it's these men that like dogs, right? Yeah. But men, as I thought, are supposed to be emotional islands.
Right.
You're supposed to not care. You're supposed to not need. You're supposed to be tough, yet you need this thing to love you constantly, incessantly, to the point that is so beyond what a man should need to be a man. And so there's this inherent contradiction there, which I don't think is very masculine, yet all men are like, I love dogs. But I find them to be fucking annoying. I like things that take care of themselves. I'm a man. I'm an emotional island. I want to be left alone when I want to be left alone. And I like that they're cute and little. I think cats are more aesthetically pleasing. I think they're cute and soft. I'm being more traditionally masculine
this
by
liking
cats.
This is ironic. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yes. I hear some shit going on. And I'm like,
hey.
See, that's what I'm saying. But
I'm just hearing him, and he's. Like, I'm getting stressed. I'm like, I can't let Jake win this moment. But so, I think Artie's like breaking something.
But do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where it's like, and Arthur is a very cute dog. I already like him. But the thing is like that need to have something love you all the time, to be obsessed with you, is it's a little weird that that is considered traditionally masculine, and it's right. bothersome because you always get bullied by dog people who say that cat people are not specifically straight men. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand that. I'm not in that camp. I'm more in the camp of like...
Yes, you are.
to me, I'm more in the camp of like, well, if you want a pet, get a pet that is like...
Like a buddy.
Yeah, but like that's yes. that's where I stand.
It's like, look, he's sitting by...
He's hardly a masculine dog, by the way. I have a 20-pound...
He's your friend right now. And that's what you get with a dog is like a friend versus a cat.
But you're saying that you need a friend.
I absolutely need a friend.
But you're a right. man.
But I'm an emotionally devastated man.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No, Matt, I know you are. I know you are. You're like...
That
yeah.
I've picked up you, on in the last couple minutes.
You're dealing with the shrapnel of your childhood. There's no question about that. But my point is, before we get into dogs and cats, I do think that traditional thing of like guys from Jersey or whatever would be like, oh, you got a fucking dog. What, do you have a cat? And it's like, well, then why do you need that... Why do you need something to love you that much? Why do you need to care about something that much? Don't you want to be left alone?
Fair enough, but I would encourage us all to enter into a progressive space here where we don't have to be hung up on old issues like
but
that.
But no, but I do think it's important because...
But I think there's still carryover,
but I'm trying to explain that I'm coming from it in a way that I feel is traditionally masculine.
Right.
Where I'm talking about something that is cute. Cats are very cute.
A cat is arguably, if you want to look at it from the quote masculine point of view, a cat is like a weird roommate.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, I'm going in the other room. See you later, man.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who like nods at you as he walks by, and then you're like, but if you had like a two male roommate type situation in college, and when your roommate came in the door, if you went, Jake's home, Jake, right. Look at my toy, dude. He'd be like, this roommate is.
And I just like to be left alone. Right. Like in my ideal vision of myself. I'm a cold, emotionally distant father.
I do, because I grew up with dogs, a German Shepherd and a Golden Retriever, and I didn't like cats for a long time, and then Jake and I were roommates for a while.
And he was vitriolic towards the concept of living with cats.
I was adamant that
he would tell
not...
jokes on stage, hate speech against cats.
Wow.
Yeah, I said slurs against cats.
Shit, you're about to get Chappelle.
He called them
by the
bad
cat.
Jewish words.
Yeah, I used Jewish slurs against cats.
So I got a little hot water. Nothing to do with the cat stuff.
But I do enjoy, I've learned to enjoy cats' independence in that sense, where they don't need you constantly. Although one of your cats fucking does need you constantly, Pebbles.
Yeah, but I'm saying, and I've come more around on dogs, but I do find it crazy. I don't want to walk anything. What are we talking about here? Who wants to walk something?
It's an investment in another creature.
I will say every once in a while, a cat owner says something like I was just away with, and Mitch was like, Yeah. No, I have someone just drop food off like once a day. They can do 3 days without. And I'm like, wow. Imagine that.
I know.
It cost me like a fortune to go out of town because I have to like hire someone where my dog walk my dog four times. And today it's pouring. Yes. And I'm like, the reason he's all antsy is because I'm not gonna be able to take him for like an hour long walk. And
there's also just something I really now I don't think I want to be a father. This is something I don't know for sure. I think you do. I've listened to some podcasts of yours and it seems like you do want to be a dad. So there is
you're gonna be a great dad.
You'll be a great dad.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe
I don't have an example to follow.
Yeah, no. You know what? I think you'll actually be a bad dad, and I hope one of the next 5-star reviews is about that.
Let me change it. You'll be a fun dad.
How about this? You'll be a father. Yeah. Technically a father.
I'll be a fun dad, a terrible husband. Yeah.
So I don't think I don't have that need to invest in something for the greater love that is mystical and everything, which I think maybe you can get with a dog. It's like, oh man, it's so intense. It's so beautiful. I don't have that, but I also admire cats because they're so, can be so sociopathic, and I think that's like the way to be. Like I really think like they can like want love and then immediately shut off and not care about anything that happened. They're not really that scar, and that's just it. They don't feel anything and they're just cute. They sleep all the fucking time. They don't need much. Like that's what I want to be in my ideal life. I am so sensitive and I need so much, and I don't want to be like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, aren't you tired of your feelings?
Yeah. Well, currently.
That's what a dog is. It's like so much feeling. And
I think
so
three of
intensity.
These tabs that are open here are like Aetna Therapist West Hollywood, Aetna Therapist Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know what? We're going to do something in 2018 about this.
I'm just not used to loving something that much and being loved that openly. It's so intense for me. Like, I don't like family
gatherings.
But maybe
that's what you need.
Maybe, but I could also die and it'd be fine. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, I know this is getting very intense, but I feel it. Like, I don't want to. I feel like if you love something that much, you have so much more to lose. It's so intense.
Oh,
and
it's true.
And I just love. Cats are just these little weird sociopaths that groom themselves all the time. They look cute. You just put some food in a bowl and that's it.
You don't even have to like really. Once you get the cat in your house, if it's a house cat, like, you technically don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to move it. Like,
what a
once,
dream. Yeah. What a dream. Now, I guess my question is, do you like cats?
I really like cats.
Okay.
I just would never choose. Like, I would have cats and dogs if they would get along. You know what I mean?
Oh, Arthur doesn't get along with cats?
Arthur, he might. His only experience with cats are Brooklyn bodega cats.
Oh, well,
and
that's
they're
a different
like,
situation.
Like, they're borderline, like, bullies.
I think Arthur could, yeah.
I think he's okay. I think he would have a hard time with anything that took any attention away from us. So maybe cats would be ideal.
You grew up with what?
With a dog.
Okay.
With dogs, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with brothers and then a dog, you know what I mean? So it felt like I've always had like something around, and I've never lived alone. Ever just me. And I don't think I could truly do that. Like, I think even if I were to get a divorce tomorrow, I would be like living in a 2-bedroom with another 40-year-old
or three
comedian.
More dogs.
Yeah, yeah. If I lived alone, I would live with like dogs and
many
be like
dogs.
I'd be like, I have a few friends that I'm now coming to reference points and I'm gonna leave their names out of this. Where it's like, yeah, they're kind of like weird dudes who are like, because there are dog people who are whatever your negative point of view of a cat person is, like weird, shut in, quiet, shy. I know dog people who like I only see communicate well with their respected dogs, like with their dogs. And then you see them like in a social situation, they're like, gotta get home to the dogs.
Yeah. Well, that is a very annoying thing about dog owners, because cat owners are like unfairly maligned and we're called crazy. But dog owners, it's that thing when people talk too much about their children.
Dog owners, yeah.
Big time. And I think it's like, it's a nightmare. And also dog, just the intensity of a dog.
But not all dogs.
I didn't say all
hashtag
dogs.
Hashtag not all dogs.
But here's the thing. Okay, here's a point I make.
Hashtag
Matt loves
dogs
to criticize cats and talks about how great dogs are, but he can't have one because he's too busy. He doesn't have a dog. And that's a big problem. You can't talk about how great dogs are if you can't have one.
That is the problem at this point.
They are high maintenance.
They're high maintenance. Yeah. And that is the reason I haven't gotten one yet is just a low-level concern that... Although I think you just get used to it. What, you just immediately adapt? You've had a dog for how long now?
I've had him for like almost 8 years now. Yeah.
And was it an adjustment period? Does it still feel like, oh shit, I got to take care of a dog? Or is it just a part of your life?
That's just part of my life. It's, I walk Arthur before bed. Like, we call it peeps real quick. We don't have to use a leash for the last pee of the night.
Because
We trained him that in Brooklyn because we lived on a fourth floor walk up. I'd be like, get him down to the front door. I'm like, just go piss in the hydrant and come back in the apartment. Can you do that? And he started doing that. So I do peeps real quick more often than I brush my teeth before bed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's something else I got to work on.
Yeah. That's another tab that you have open.
To brush my teeth before bed.
What excites me about a dog is that they're more of a project than cats. Like, there's a dog is, I think, a little more malleable than a cat.
And I think that's what a lot of people would say is a con of a dog, is that, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, what do I got to do? I got to teach it stuff. I got to, like, train it. I got to make sure it doesn't get separation anxiety. I got to, like, it can't shit in my house.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's so much. I mean, so I guess my question is, what do you love about having a dog?
And here's the thing. I feel like you could probably dismantle everything I say by just saying
I'm not here to dismantle. I could. Let's just say I could. I feel like I was bullied my whole life for this, so I've thought of every argument. But I'm just curious. What the convince me? Why is it so great?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Because I feel like a lot of what I like about having a dog, it would be about having a pet. For me, it's like an interesting... First of all, I think... If I do intend to be a dad, and I would be remiss to try to go from not having a dog to having a child.
Okay.
I think is like a D-minus level child where you're like, yeah, I can leave it alone for 6 hours, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then like, if it has to do something, it has to do something. It pukes on the rug. It shits, in the house every once in a while. He looks so sad.
He's sitting on my lap, by the way.
He's managed to take Jake's posture.
This is one of the best situations I've ever had with a dog.
I was going to say, this is almost a breakthrough for you.
He's cat-like right now.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem that much like a dog.
No, he has two speeds, and they're like wildly chill and insane.
Yeah,
yeah. But even his insanity is like all
he's
like,
cute. He's little.
It's all like fun insanity.
So it's a starter thing for a kid,
right?
Which
I so desperately want. But there's like an appeal to the idea of like, where I'm in this together with him. You know what I mean? Like like he needs me and. Which is nice to be needed, and he wants me, which is nice to be wanted. But I also kind of like, oh, look at that affection.
Wow, he is pretty cute.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe I lucked out. I got a great dog by accident, but there, all the stuff I'm going to say I like about dogs, you could probably just slide over to any pet.
I do feel like with a dog, you're getting like a teammate. Like he or she is on your side. Whereas a cat, and I know I've brought this up before, would betray you at any moment.
I don't know about that. I think I am scared. I mean, I like how serious this is getting. Because as we're talking about it, I realize I have a deep fear of not being loved as much as I want to be. So
if you go in saying...
If I'm like, this dog...
It's not going to love me.
Yeah. And then I think like any love that I get is like, that was me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm worth it. But like, if they don't love me, it's like, yeah, they're a cat.
Right.
So with a dog, it's like a whole, like I would just put too many expectations. I feel like if I were a parent, I would definitely be the type of parent that when the kids at 14 or 15 started going away from me and started not needing me, I would maybe kill myself. Like I would definitely be like this. No, this is a personal attack.
No, I've sort of gotten accustomed to your love and it has to keep coming. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I just think, I don't know, man, like today it's raining. Do you want to walk this motherfucker?
No, not at all. And the hardest, I will say, the transition, moving from New York to LA, everyone has dogs in New York, and it's cool. It's fun to have a dog in New York because it's a walking city. So it's like, I can go get a coffee and walk my dog, and I'm in Brooklyn, and I'll go grab my laundry while I walk my dog. All that shit's cool. But
in LA,
when there's no fucking snow,
activity. yeah.
But it's also so like the morning walk to walk a dog. In New York in the winter, imagine I'm in a fourth floor walk up. I have to wake up, go from pajamas to fully dressed, snow jacket, all that. Take my dog out, hope he pees or poops, go back in, take all that off, shower, get ready for work, and then put all of that shit back on. Because sometimes some dogs, Artie's, and I will say also, I've got the luck, he sleeps as late as me and my wife, no matter what. Like, he's never, he's on our schedule, and he doesn't, like, he can hold his piss overnight for, like, 12.
And I do think to some extent, because I grew up in Texas, and we had a yard, and, like, there are setups that work way better for dogs, and cities, I do think, unless maybe New York, work better for cats.
I think New York is a cat. Is a
but
cat
if you town. Have like a house and a yard, like then it a dog or like ideally if you have a like a doggy door and they can go out and piss and shit on their own, yeah. then you're like set up. Then it's basically like a cat.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I just don't know why am I working for this thing? Like, I don't want to do that much work for this thing. I just want to hang out with something cool and cute.
But I think that psychologically, when you invest in something, you get more out of it. That's just like
a real
thing. I was going to
say,
yeah.
It sounds awful, like when you're like, fuck, I got to wake up and walk this dog and it's raining. But then when you're out there like walking with the dog and it's like,
yeah.
we're like chilling, like, and all of a sudden like someone walks by and they smile because you got your fucking cute ass dog out there. Mm-hmm. Then you see another person walking a cute dog and you're like, hey, we got dogs.
I do sometimes have dreams where I'm like running through a field with my cats, you know what I mean? And so I can never realize that because they'll run away. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, I see it. It's just okay, getting back to the masculine thing, don't you, even though, you know, you are a fuck boy, like, don't you have an issue though with being like some of the guys that like dogs or like a pit bull? Maybe that's what I'm talking about. A right. fucking pit bull is a nightmare. Like, that's a fucking nightmare animal. And I know not all pit bulls, but a lot of pit bulls, they bark. They're so fucking loud. Arthur doesn't seem that loud. They're loud, annoying. You have to tell them to shut the fuck up. They're aggressive.
They
I don't
can
like
accidentally
being,
crush your nut,
yeah,
like climbing
like
across
being,
you on the couch.
Yeah, I don't like being around something that aggressive. I mean, I like being around something small that I can handle. I don't like big guys. I don't like big anything. I don't like aggression.
Your riding partner's like 6'9".
Yeah,
like
but, he has asthma and he's weak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't like big guys. Yeah. Excuse me.
Jake?
But there's just something sort of like, there's just something so, like Arthur's a small dog because he's like, my cats are like kind of that size. But like there's just something so intense about a fucking dog, so lumbering. It's a nightmare. It's like having a son. I don't want a fucking son.
I mean, it is a thing, and that's why I think if you didn't grow up with dogs, I understand, because there is like a you learn to interact with them in a specific way, and if you're not used to that, it would feel weird because it is like a physical relationship.
And also you have to like go, "No." No. Yeah. Like, and I don't ever have to do that. I
right,
have to be like get
right.
down from there.
You have to kind of be alpha, which is like a word
I'm not
the
alpha.
Only alpha around dogs, like I'm
yeah
like,
yes.
that's like
yeah.
The,
that's
only
the only
time I'm ever confident
yeah.
where I'm like, hey. See,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah. but no, you're doing
I find
great.
It kind of weird. I just yeah. am not, like, I think I'm just scared of stuff.
Well, I would say one good thing about dogs, and cats to a degree, but dogs specifically, they're entirely customizable. Like, you could be
sure,
like,
yes.
well, I'm allergic to dogs. Guess what? There's dogs. That aren't. Well, I don't want a big dog. There's little dogs. Well, I don't
right.
want too little of a dog. Guess what? Medium
and even
dogs.
Some big dogs, like, if you've ever met a Great Dane, and you might struggle with it because of how big it is, but Great Danes are so sweet. And they shouldn't be alive. Like, Great Danes should not. And I'm sorry if you have a Great Dane out there, but they got bred into an insane. They die when they're like 7 years old. It's crazy.
We're tiptoeing into another subject, but we should talk about this. Like,
yes.
the fact that is also a dog as a like a
it
Labrador.
Does, it's
like,
crazy.
Yeah. We've fucked him. Like his oh. snout is short to the point where he can have breathing problems.
What we
and
have
people have done that. To
what
them.
We have done to dogs. And especially dogs, but also cats, is criminal and like unredeemable. And
it's
I think
eugenics.
All humanity will go to hell if there is a hell for what we have done yeah. to these animals.
Right.
Now they're beautiful and they enrich our lives, but it is like crazy that it is like that this is the same came from the same dog as a fucking Great Dane.
Right.
Right? Didn't it?
At some point they
yeah,
all
at some point,
the same.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the same thing as saying like me and LeBron James are the same.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like we were eventually yeah. we were both of at some point the same and now like
yeah.
that'll happen.
I would
the differentiation
love,
amongst the species.
I want to see you play basketball against LeBron James.
I'd like to see LeBron James yeah. host a podcast against yeah. me.
Host three different podcasts? Not
good luck,
easy.
LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't think you're committed enough.
Yeah. See how you deal emotionally with 5-star things about your wife.
Yeah.
I will say, I read this article a few years ago and it's just been burned in my head in New York. Maybe it was in New York Times Magazine or New York Magazine. Some sort of New York-based magazine. It was Swank. And it was about the Georgia Bulldogs mascot.
Yeah.
They had a bulldog as a mascot, and like unbeknownst to the crowd, it was like the 8th one in like 14 years because they're bred. They wanted to have that such a short snout and
oh.
such a underbite for it to look cute that it's like not good for the dog.
Right.
Like I saw like And you can look this up. I saw like what bulldog skulls originally were like,
yeah.
And they had snouts. They were fighting dogs. They like would bite horses' legs. Was like their thing. Like, in combat, you can use a bulldog to like take down a big fucking cow or a horse or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we've shortening their snouts because that's what and here's the other thing: the fucking dog show, the AKC says like this is what the flatter the nose, the better of a bulldog. And then we're truly reverse adapting it. You know what I mean? We're the like removing its survival ability. They were talking about this Georgia Bulldog. They would have to bring out like a cold pad for it to lay on because it just has no way to get rid of its heat because it's like so.
Because it can't pan.
And it's so fat and it's so like, ugh. And they have to like put it on this cold pad because it's like a huge football stadium. And it's like, what the fuck?
Why? I mean,
dog, having a living dog as a mascot is already like a fucked up twisted thing. But the fact it's a dog specifically that we bred to do something so specific.
I think they just made it illegal in California to buy purebred dogs.
Which I.
So you have to, I mean, I you have to kill the purebred.
I mean, it feels weird to place that limitation, or it just feels like, like a weird limitation. But I think generally that is good because we have fucked with dogs way too much, and we should stop doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
My wife will say though, because we got RD from a breeder like 8 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a puppy mill or anything like that, but it was like before the adopt, don't shop thing was really pushed.
Sure.
Not that that's an excuse. My wife will say, and I kind of agree with her, she's like, well, someone's got to get those.
Who
someone's got to buy those dogs.
Yeah, right.
Like, I
those dogs aren't. It's not like it's all adopt and then puppy mills will stop.
It feels like a hard line in the sand, but I think it's good to trend that direction because we've messed with them way too much and it's not good to do that, I don't think. But also, I had 2 purebred dogs growing up and I love the shit out of them.
Right.
I'd like to make a quick right turn.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna assault Matt with this opinion, and I want to know how you feel, John. So I am a vegetarian, and I love animals.
Yeah.
When I watch movies, there's always this sadness that happens when a dog dies.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking overblown, and it's like, a dog dying? Come on. But you eat animals.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
are you allowed to be upset by that?
Well, I agree.
Because I find it to be, I think dogs have this sort of symbolism in culture as the most important thing. Wes Anderson is always doing it. Have this symbolism in culture like the most precious thing in the world. Yet all those people fucking eat every other animal in the world.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, I remember.
It's hypocritical. Undeniably.
Well, it's because I think it's hilarious that that happens because it is. You can watch in a movie 1,000 people get murdered in cold blood, but the moment one animal gets hurt, it's horrifying.
Or like you cry at the end of Marley and Me, but you don't cry at like the end of Lorenzo's Oil.
No, yeah. Like or like I remember in when I saw the movie The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. There's a moment when they're like fighting in battle, and these horses get shot and taken down, and the whole movie theater went, but meanwhile thousands of people are getting like murdered around them.
The end of that movie is like Japanese people being slaughtered by a Gatling gun.
That didn't affect anybody. Yeah,
there's something about that. There's something, and I disagree with that in that, like, it's sad when I feel bad when someone else's dog dies because I'm like, ouch, that must suck.
Yes.
Because that's like a grandparent dying. Like,
yes.
I don't say parent or sibling or kid because that's really sad.
Yes.
A grandparent of a certain age, you're like,
right,
it's going to happen.
Well,
it's
thank
a bummer.
God they're
I'm
out
gonna
of pain.
Miss them.
Yeah.
But they that's what happens when you're 70 something.
Is a dog dying or a divorce worse?
Ooh, I don't know. I would say a dog dying is worse.
I think it's probably worse because the dog would have kept being great. The divorce clearly needed to happen.
Right.
20 years of marriage.
Oof. Yeah, I mean,
this is the kind of fun stuff you find on High and Mighty.
What's sadder, getting a divorce from your wife of 20 years or your dog dying?
It'd be both.
In a couple of years, I could find out.
He'll let you know. Tune in then to find out.
Give me 5 more years. Get a divorce and kill the dog. And then you're like, I don't feel good. I have an answer.
I have an answer. They both together are really bad.
And also, I can't live alone, so can I live with you and your cats? Yeah.
So, Pebbles, you say.
Huh? Yeah. Listen, Arthur is making a strong showing for a dog. I just think, I feel like you guys have to agree, the type of people that love dogs are MAGA people.
No, they can be.
So yes, they
cat
absolutely
people can too.
Cat people like Trump?
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
Fucking, I guarantee you there's
not a single Trump voter has a cat, and that is the fucking truth.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. My hill to die on.
Do you know
on.
What yeah. I'm saying?
I think you're going to find, I think the reverse of that is true. I think you're going to find more cat people are not MAGA people. You know what I mean? But I think there's going to be plenty of MAGA people that have cats.
Okay.
But I think you're right. There's like... Yeah. Dog, truck.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
There's a
about?
Dog, truck, yes. beer
like
can
a Carl's
combo.
Jr. commercial yeah. Yeah. should have a dog in it with tits. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, uh-huh. that's like theoretically. And so I think that's what I've always reacted to. I wonder if even my obsession with cats is a little bit contrarian in nature. I think just in the sense mm-hmm. that
right,
like dogs, and just being called like queer a lot growing up, it was like, well, okay, you know.
Yeah, you can also have, your parents could have a dog. And be called queer a lot.
Yeah. Hi, we're comedians. Yeah. Yeah, I also just think with cats, one thing I like about them is I think they're very funny. I think mm-hmm. like they can pop up in a sock drawer. They're fucking weird. Like
dogs are funny too, though.
In what way?
Look at this.
He's not being that funny. He's cute, but he's not being that funny.
Yeah, but he like. Yeah. I know. Every dog owner will tell you, like, mm-hmm. you don't understand, my dog's actually like a human. And it's yes. all you just projecting an entire personality onto your
of
dog.
Course.
But once that's achieved, like, there's something about, like, he'll do shit. Like, if he farts, he goes, he, like, jumps away in shame. If I fart under the blanket, yeah. he, like, fights his way to get out from underneath the blanket.
I do relate to shame.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, shame
is something I don't have with cats.
The only way in to Jake is, like, they feel
okay,
shame.
Yeah, all right. I'm relating on shame.
The reality is anything that you're around a lot, you'll eventually just fall in love with her or have an
proximity.
Affinity for it. That's why with your cats, I eventually, when I first moved in, their personalities, I didn't sense them. They weren't quite there. I just knew Pebbles was, like, wanted attention constantly. But then as time went on, I developed voices for them. It's like a whole mm-hmm. fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cute guy.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
that... Oh, here. Okay, here's another thing I don't love about dogs, male dogs. The dick. I don't
Their
like
dicks
it.
Are out.
I don't like it. They're definitely out.
Their dicks are definitely out, mm-hmm. and they definitely, you know, can't physically shake their penis after they pee.
No.
So when they come in the house, like...
But
sometimes
now,
there's like legit dick crust on our yes. couch, and it's, you know, it's a 50-50 split between him and I.
but now hang on,
Tiff,
Jake.
Whose dick crust is yeah. this? You know,
cats are also disgusting. Let's not.
But they clean themselves like 16 hours
but
a day.
They smell,
shit in the house.
They shit in the house. It does
they
not
clean
smell
up their
good.
Own, but they cover it.
But you know, I there are more houses that I walk into where I'm like, there's a cat in
How
here.
How many houses then are you walking
I'm
into?
I'm walking into houses constantly. I knock on doors.
Yeah. Yeah. You're one of those like whale, like the dolphins are dying. Can
yes.
I come in for a second?
But they give off cats. I can tell that there's a cat there more often than I can tell there's a dog.
I will
there.
Judge because okay. to me, I smell cat litter more than I smell like
exactly.
dog.
I agree.
Dick. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
agree,
a problem.
Guys.
And Jake?
Wow.
I agree. Yeah. I dated someone for a year and a half, and very often.
All right.
We would, yeah, it was cool. Well, we broke up recently. Yeah. But whatever, like, once I don't notice it, and you start to not care about how bad it smells and how right. weird it can get or how much hair is everywhere, mm-hmm. you do become weirder as a cat owner. And yeah. she would constantly lecture me. She's like, yeah. this isn't, I'm not being picky here. This is a problem. Like, it smells bad.
Yes.
Like, something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Dogs, I mean, dogs smell too.
Yeah,
to a
dogs.
Degree. But yeah. it's the poop in the house that kind of bothers me a little bit about, even with all the devices and
you
however
you poop in the house, though.
Yeah. And then I push
down.
A button and it goes away.
Yeah, it goes bye-bye.
And
bye-bye.
I wipe and I do everything.
I did have a cat growing up that peed in the toilet.
By the way, this is a little side note, but this happened the other day. Our friend, you know, Dave Ross, do you
yeah,
know
yeah.
he came to my house to work on something and he used my restroom and he was in there for a while. I don't know what he was doing.
God only knows.
Then he came out and he said, Matt, I need to talk to you about something. And he said, the toilet paper you use is punishment and you need to do something about it. You're a 30-year-old man. You live in a lovely place and you're punishing your asshole. He lectured me for about 10 minutes on it to where I finally ordered some new toilet paper online.
Yeah, what
that's
do you feel?
That's true. That's true adult shit. That's like the kind of things that I go to like a friend's house and I'm like, look, I get it. You're a single man. You're a couple years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you should have all the shit I have in my house where you have like 40 $100 Anthropology candles that could be lit at any moment.
Right.
But you need fucking Cottonelle double. And you need good toilet paper.
Well, just
you're using like a cheap like 12 pack.
It's one of those things where like you're constantly like figuring out new ways to make your life slightly better. Toilet paper, I guess, has just been a blind spot where I'm like, I'm going to buy the cheap stuff because I'm going to save money because I need to save money on everything.
What were some of the first things you started upgrading when you made a little bit of money? The toilet paper was one of the first things for me.
Well,
oh yeah. Toilet paper was like, I didn't even have to make money. Just cohabitating with a woman who's used to a certain lifestyle, but not used to understanding what it's like.
Yeah.
I was living alone before with some friends before I moved in with my wife, but that was her first time not living in a dorm or at her mom's house.
Yeah.
So she just came in, was like, no, this is how our lives are. And we went into severe debt just trying to maintain lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
But for a while it was like, oh yeah. Why am for fucking three extra dollars? I could like in like not, yes, feel bad after I take a shit.
That was part of the choice to be married, was like, this, I need this person. They make my life better.
Talk about upgrading your life. I was just like, everyone's like, dude, when I first, I was like one of the first, I moved in with my girlfriend and everyone was like, what's, dude, that is that crazy? I'm like, it's kind of great because I have to go, I have to go see her. Yeah. I enjoy her company. So like, I got to go see her. Yes, it sucks that you can't take a break, but it's amazing that you can fucking not have to stress about like, I got to pack a bag to go fuck this girl in two boroughs away.
This is a bad thing I'm going to do, but I mean a good thing. So you had to invest more in it to get more out of it, like
a dog.
A dog.
Yes.
And I don't want to compare your partner to a dog.
Keep my wife's mouth out of your mouth. Yeah. Hey, I don't know how that happened, but stop doing that.
Well, there is something about, it's the like pain pleasure thing where you like, when you, if something is hard, you get more out of it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not the guy to make this comparison, but apparently running, something that some people do, they get something, it's hard, but they get enjoyment out of it in some way.
Do you like, but
comparing my wife to long distance exercise?
I don't think that's always the truth.
No.
The pain pleasure.
Because
thing?
Sometimes you don't want to have intercourse because it's more work.
Right.
But yeah, but sometimes you like, you know.
But it's, I'm never, after having intercourse, I'm never like, I'm bummed I did that. I'm always like that. I'm always like, great.
I'm maybe bummed
how that went.
Like, that was,
I
know, not,
I love the fact that I got to do it. That was, I'm not mad that
that was not a good showing for me.
Yeah. I'm like, I definitely could do better. I hope next month I've got it sorted out. But yeah, I think I'm a guy. I've been pitching that to like, since I was 24 to my single friends, they're like, dude, how do you do the relationship? I'm like, yeah, there's parts of being in a relationship that of course are not as cool as living alone or living with your boys. Like,
right.
That's standard, but there's so much good that outweighs the like, and then when I started to realize the shit that was like stressing me out about living with a woman, when it was like, put the seat down, clean up after yourself.
Yeah, they're
like,
making,
and you're
you
like, oh my God, wait, no, these are, how, I can't believe I made a stance once of like, that's not who I am.
It's
like,
right, no.
And then maybe like, if to keep, flip this analogy back, it's like, oh, I can't believe I got to walk the dog a few times a day. I can't believe I got to go to a park. And so, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm walking and socializing. Like, this can't be bad for me in the long
run. Is, I think it's good to realize in yourself, if, especially if you're this type of person generally, is that you kind of almost have to be forced to do things that are good for you. And so it's good to create systems around you that force you to do that.
So you think I'm a worse person because I have cats?
Well, yeah. there is something about also, and I'm not saying you don't put your cats first, but introducing something into your life that you have to think about before you make any decision, sort of, whether it is a significant other, a dog, or a, you know, a child. Like, there is something, it is a true learning experience to be like, I can't just do, I remember the big thing in New York was, because I lived in an outer borough, is I couldn't go straight from work or a daytime thing into a nighttime thing all night. He needed to get out
yeah.
after work for, so I couldn't, I can hire a dog walker to walk him in the middle of the day while I'm at work. But,
yeah.
but so I couldn't, and I used to just roll, oh, we go to happy hour. I got a Harold night and then I fucking, you know, we all go out and drink. And now I've been gone from 7 a.m. to 4 a.m. And it's like, that's just something you can't do anymore.
Right.
And it was just kind of interesting. And I will also say caveat, getting a dog with a significant other,
there you
sort
go.
Of like, you know.
I think that's the only way I would actually do it, is with my significant other. So then we're tag teaming and we can still live regular lives, essentially.
But it's like being married.
And then it
that
becomes,
is marriage.
That, I think, honestly, having a dog together is more binding than like a marriage.
I think so, yeah.
Because it's just, you have to communicate more. But one thing I think, some people get dogs and it's like, it's a way to... take the heat off. We're in a relationship where it's like,
right.
thank God we have something else to like to talk about and pay attention.
right.
And like, you know, yeah. and then you're like, oh, thank God. Hey, did you walk the dog? We have something to talk about besides like our failings in this couple.
I do find that like, cause I see what you guys are saying. I mean, I still like cats more, but like, I get it. I do find I talk about my cats constantly, incessantly, and they don't do anything. So there is some sort of clear mental illness going on where I'm like, look at her.
Yeah, but that's like the projection part, which I think is fun of having a pet. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you just write the inner monologue of your cat or your cats, and you're like, yeah, he's squirrely. Whenever there's like a landscaper outside is when he's on high alert. You know, you're like just like completely.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they're just like fucking reacting to instant stimuli around
them. I think it is just like nobody's that interesting or has that many interesting thoughts in your brain. So it's nice to have something to just be like a simple distraction at all times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's an interesting vibe. Like having a dog is just like, you're just sitting there watching TV and then you're just reminded that like another human, like another being is in your house. And it's like, he just like jumps in your lap and you're like, oh, and you're like, oh, right. Hey, we're like doing this together. What's up, bro? You know,
that's think I just, this podcast has really helped me realize how selfish I am, but I love it.
I think that's what I project on cat owners a lot.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, anybody who says like, no, trust me, cats are better, you don't have to do that much for them. It's like, I'm always like, oh, interesting that that's your argument. Cause as a lazy, like unmotivated person, I get that.
Yes.
Like totally. But it's a weird thing. That's like a weird hill, dude. You know, like that's how you talk about a car. Is like, I lease a car so I don't have to worry about taking care of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I do. And we've talked about this, that like, cause the thing that tempts me about cats is the, you don't have to do anything. But we have talked about, like, as you go on in life, questioning whether or not the sort of constant self-indulgence will continue to be interesting or worthwhile. And maybe it will be.
I think it will.
But I can't tell. Yeah, you think so?
I think the main thing that I'm objecting to is the cult of dogs, where it's just... It is run by loud people that are loud like dogs. And honestly, I do think... like horrible dogs are some of the worst problems alive. Like just loud, incessantly barking dogs that are like gruff. I feel uncomfortable in their presence,
they're
a horrible
unsettling.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's unsettling. It's not. I want them put down, like all of them. And I think it should be mandatory. But I also, I just feel like it's that masculine thing from a young age that is associated with the type of person I hate most is a dog owner.
Right.
But I know cat owners are all we are crazy and something's wrong with us and we are selfish. But I do the alpha dog
the
owner
macho,
is just it's too much.
Yeah.
It's like you're not. It's also not self-aware, which I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the cult of blank is what ruins most things I really enjoy in life. You know what I mean?
Like anyone who likes comedy.
All I want to do in life is be an actor, and then every time I take an acting class, I go, And I'm like, not a good actor. I'm like, okay, I got to take an acting class.
Right.
I got to learn how to be an actor.
Yeah.
And I go to an acting class and I'm like, I hate all of you.
Yeah.
I hate all of you so much. And I'm like, oh, what do you all have in common? You're fucking actors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, dude, comedy people. And then you start getting around comedy people and you're like, comedy people are kind of the worst, but way better than that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, do I have to just swallow that? Is like that a thing? Like, because then you work on set, you're working. Not necessarily in these acting classes I'm taking, but if you ever get a job on set, you're ostensibly acting with people from acting classes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe you have to learn to be like, yeah, no, that's really cool. Like, you know, like, yeah, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You, I guess I'm not allowed to tell you that that's not interesting at all. Yeah. like, I guess you don't realize you're uninteresting.
Yeah.
And I got to roll with that.
Yeah. Oh,
like, us God. Comedians Comedy- are the first people to go, like, yeah, I can't believe I'm telling you this
yeah.
story.
This is not across the board. This is generalizing. But I do think comedy people tend towards self-awareness a little more than people who are only actors.
I think that's the thing that ruined, like, the lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing in life. Like, my wife will always brag about, like, she's like, I'm being crazy, aren't I? And yes. I'm like, yeah, you're being really crazy. And uh-huh. she goes, it's good that I know, though, right? And I'm like, you haven't changed your behavior at all. But I guess it's nice to know that you realize that, at least.
That is one of the things I value most, or I look for in friends or significant others, is like, how self-aware are you? And it's almost like the first handful of meetings is I'm testing them on self-awareness.
I do find myself a little over self-aware, to where I often find myself talking to people and being like, what I'm saying, you want me to stop, right? They're like, no. Yeah. I'm like, oh, because I wanted to stop. Because yeah. I hate hearing myself say anything I think.
And again, we talked about this off air, but it's that whole social media thing. Like, you're yes. like, the reason I'm so self-aware is because I'm so ready to be annoyed by someone
yeah,
else.
That's
I
exactly hate that.
I
have everything.
To, I'm like, am I talking too much? And I'm yeah. the king of talking too much. Mm-hmm. I do yes. it for A, yeah. living, again, in quotes, and B, like, in social situations, I'm fucking screaming in everyone's faces. So, but I'm got to be self-aware, because I would kill somebody
it
if they
acted like
me. It
feels like a deal you made with the devil, where the way you make your living is what you hate about yourself most.
That's exactly yeah. right. I did this to you yesterday, by the way, or us, when we were on another podcast.
We did another podcast.
And we were like, sorry. we'd like to apologize to the listeners.
Doing podcasts is like such a clear analog to like the chat show, like being on
yeah.
fucking
yeah. Oh,
panel.
Yeah. yeah.
But how many listeners do they get? Yeah. I got the fucking high and mighty pop. It's going great.
But Jake and I were like really going and talking a lot. And then at one point I was like, are we talking too much? The hosts haven't said anything in a minute. And then I just...
And they're thrilled to not be talking.
Yeah.
They hate that they decided to do a podcast.
But then I asked them, I was like, are we being too much? Should we talk less? And they were like, no, fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. All we need to do is talk until our timer
yeah,
says we're done.
Yeah, that's all we're trying to do here.
Until society yeah. says that's an episode
that we just end. Yeah. Well, I think this has been interesting. I mean, I feel like I did learn a lot. I'm not going to change anything, but I do feel like I completely understand why I like cats, and it's similar to why I don't want to be a father, and it is based in fear and selfishness.
Yeah.
The thing that I understand about you and would encourage you to do with dogs is take them as individuals and not as a collective, because they're all different, and there are those aggressive dogs out there, but there are also dogs that are purely...
Here's the other issue, though.
Yeah.
The other thing about dog people is that they're always making fun of, like, people for liking cats. Oh, like, it's a feminine thing, but those people like women. They like women. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be into what women are into?
Yeah.
But would I you think, at least, would you, okay, so you're a MAGA supporter.
But you're
supporter.
Not talking about
You're basically
me
a MAGA
here.
Supporter, yeah. and what you need to say
but that's the thing. It's
is that there's
to...
you have an issue with the other MAGA supporters, you just like his tax policy. That's essentially what a dog owner is.
No. You're throwing
nice
a...
Nice try.
You're associating dog owners with Trump in a crazy way, and it's offensive to me deeply.
I would say... I would say I see what you're getting at, but I think that's like a... Like
it's
a
like the
iceberg.
Five-star review with the sun, dude.
Right,
yeah.
I get it. It's cool that you're making
Thank
that
Thank you
movie.
So much,
I'm
a writer.
It is there. Like, it is there a little bit of, like, the dog of, like, this is the kind of people who want to get a fucking big, strong, you won't believe how obedient he is. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you really need?
Yeah,
you need someone to like tongue your asshole. Like,
you need someone to whip you and shove something up your ass.
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, what is that? That I don't understand. The person who's like, my dad was like that with children. So, like, I would never fuck my dad. He wanted us to whip him and lick his asshole. No, my dad was like one of those people who's like, we called him sir in the house. He wasn't military at all, but like he got off on like the alpha, like kind of respect of children. Mm-hmm. And I have rejected that as hard as possible.
That's intense.
And I can never be like that. I know that you have to be stern with dogs because that's like how they learn, but I'm never going to be like pride myself on like, no, don't worry, watch. Fucking slap my dog in the face. He won't do anything. It's like, okay. All right.
Tug my dog's asshole. See what happens.
I dare you. Look, you won't even react. Yeah.
I injected him with something.
I trained
my... He doesn't feel. He doesn't know when he's shitting.
I trained my dog to love being tongued in the asshole.
feels bad to talk about him.
It was a fun journey.
So cute. Yeah.
Oh, he's such a cute dog.
The belly cum.
Yeah, but he's being cat-like right now. That's why I like him.
Yeah, and dogs are capable of that.
Yeah, no, that's
especially
true.
Like you got to spend 1 hour next to a dog that. This is an environment for him. He always sits on that couch with the guest and just relaxes.
I have softened a lot recently. I mean, you have had dogs when I go back to your house in Houston. Yes. I like it, but I do think, or like your sister Molly has terrible dogs. Like dogs that are way too intense. That it's like, this is my whole life now.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
I hate when you go to someone's house and they have dogs that are too much and they are clearly overwhelmed by their own. So, you know, and you're like,
sorry.
Oh my God,
buddy, calm down. Buddy, I'm sorry.
By the way, Molly, if you're listening, I love your dogs.
But they're too much.
They're too much for you.
Matt, Ooh. Okay, you're saying this on air, but we've talked about how they're too much.
Too
it's
much
safe to
for
say
you.
That Molly's not listening.
Molly might be listening. And Molly, I love
Molly's
you.
Molly, I also love
yeah.
you. But that's always the most stressful thing ever. You go over someone's house and they're like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Is he driving you crazy? And you're like, yeah, a little bit, but I can't say that. And then it's like, they're stressed by their own dogs. I'm like, easy.
You do have to. If I ever get a dog, my plan is to be brutal with the adoption process and like really vet dogs because I
and
really
eventually just get a purebred.
Yeah.
That's the peak of being brutal with the adoption process. Yeah. Going like, why not get one from a certified.
Know what I'm getting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
it can ruin your life. You get a shitty dog. I dated.
It's hard.
Yeah. It's hard. It makes I dated someone once who adopted a dog that had severe separation anxiety and it was fucking, it sucked. It like ruined things.
Yeah.
I think it was the reason we broke up.
He no, got separation not. Anxiety like briefly based on because our upstairs neighbor dog would bark all day long when their owner left and then we would leave too and then he would like go stir crazy. He would go crazy listening to another dog whine about their owner being gone all day. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So he went apeshit and we had to like fucking change our, like he trashed the house completely.
Yeah.
We had to like change it. And that's something a cat can't really do. No. Like is like destroy your home.
Yes.
But a dog fucking 20 pounds. So if you have a fucking Labrador, they can crush your
I
house.
Will say this, regardless dog or cat, I do think pets make you a better person.
I agree.
I don't really like people who don't have pets or have no affinity for them. It is a little like, I feel bad for them, but there's
caring
you gotta
about
care
things,
about something.
Caring about it, things makes you
it
better.
It makes you softer.
It was a huge thing. Like, before we even had dogs, like I was saying to myself, like my dream is to have a family and have a dog someday. I cannot get involved with someone who doesn't like for you, it would be a deal breaker if a girl was like, I don't like
that
cats.
That has happened.
Yeah.
And actually, because of being a single man with cats, there are women out there who are like, okay, no. Like it
I
is
think
like
the stigma is sliding away from
it's
that
sliding
now,
away, especially
yeah.
in LA because right, there's yeah. like vegan food everywhere. But also,
in LA, cats are like one of the eighth least masculine activity yeah. you can do.
Yeah. But there is sort of I have noticed that in general over the years it has changed a little bit. But like there is sort of a stigma. Like there's something weird. Like they'll be like, well, he's a nice guy, but he does have two cats. Like that. If I'm being set up with someone, it
right.
is like a thing.
Right, and I think it's one of those things where. You should probably just tell someone that a guy you're setting them up with has two cats, but at the same time, you don't want to know what that person's reaction to the like right. where they're like, ooh, two
yeah.
cats.
Right. Also, there is that weird thing I would say with different people when they love. There is that dangerous thing with any animal. If you're bonding over that, that can get weird fast. Like, because right. some people that like cats that happen to be gendered female, you know, it is weird. And it is a thing. You know, like I relate to them very much, but I'm not sure I want our relationship to be about cats.
If
then
it's based
like,
around that, then you're risking that you don't have anything else.
I'm
going
a
on.
Lot as yeah. a person, as a cat person. I made it such a big part of my brand.
Yeah.
And it is too much. So I do think that like having someone else be into that too, that's
it's
not
like
a healthy couple.
It's like when two triathletes get together. Yeah. You're like, that's great.
Yeah.
But you can't. That
only
can't
be
your
that.
Like. You're not gonna yeah. be able to do that forever. You're not gonna be. Like,
it's why like people in comedy shouldn't be together. Like two writers shouldn't
Are
be
you
together.
With a comedian?
No. And it's like just. And she works in television in marketing, so it's like adjacent enough that she understands
she
any
it, yeah.
drama.
And she
that
also
I'm dealing
knows,
with.
But she knows what you do is bullshit.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but she also goes, "What are you upset about?
Yeah.
Harold Knight? yeah, you're right. Like, yeah. so it, that's the, And then I don't have to feel competitive against her. Like when my friends who are in couples, especially couples where like one person is more like doing further along, I wouldn't say even doing better, but further along in their career. And the other person's like newer is like, can we make a movie? Can we write together? Can we, we should do an improv show together. It's like, oh my God, that's my nightmare.
Yep. Yeah. That's why it is hard. I mean, it's tempting to want to get into a relationship with someone who you creatively gel with. Cause that's one of the most exciting types of like, relationships you can have, not necessarily sexual, but like, but it can be risky to mix.
It's very close to being feeling like you work well with someone is very is right alongside being attractive.
It is. It's very intimate, and you feel extremely connected to that person.
I feel like I didn't even realize, because I feel like you're brought up and you're taught to like someone who is quote unquote hot, right?
Right.
But I think until I met funny people, I didn't realize that sometimes looks have nothing to do with it, that you can morph to like someone just because they're funny. I didn't know that until I met really funny. I was like, oh, no, like humor is like the, and intelligence is like very sexual to
this. I learned it. I learned it from Inside Out. I'm like, when I, my freshman year of college, when I had no baggage from anyone knowing me, and all of a sudden girls are like hysterical laughing at me and they're like, I'm making out with them like minutes later. I'm like, oh my God, humor is attractive.
Right.
And then like I would eventually, I went through my phase of not knowing humor in other, and then you start meeting women who are intelligent and funny, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah,
oh
it's
my
thank God,
God
too. Thank God I'm not just a basic fucking animal. And like, I'm just like, you put out your bird call and now I want to fuck you.
Right. And you just like, and it's fun. Like, but then you find that even in like a non, like all of a sudden, like you're like, oh my God, am I attracted to you? I hope. I shouldn't be, because it's an inappropriate relationship. Oh, no, I'm not feeling attracted. I'm feeling like excited about working.
Thank God
like
someone gets me.
Like to use Lapkus as an example, is like we've performed together. I always like always thought she was funny and she's great to perform with. Mm-hmm. But we never worked as much as we did on this podcast. And I'm like, I'm enjoying my time. And then being the most fucking heteronormative person ever, I'm like. And then all of a sudden I'm like, no, you're friends find this person entertaining and charismatic. It's like, oh my God, you can have that without, and of course that feels exactly like attraction and that all add erection. And that is what attraction is.
Like, but that is the beauty of like doing this, is you can have different types of relationships and your creative partnerships are often as fulfilling as a relationship would be, which is what's exciting about this career essentially.
Right. That's like when I'm planning a party and my wife's like, who are all these people? I'm like, you don't understand how close I am to them. It's like, how are you? It's like, well, we worked together for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Really? And it's she's like, I'm not inviting anyone from work. You know what I mean? Like, and oh, that's a different job.
It's like finding if you're in the middle of the country and you find someone who has and you realize someone, you get their number and they have the same area code as you. You're like, oh my God, we have a lot to talk about.
Well, it is. Right, finding the people who you find funny and who you can make them funnier and they can make you funnier. That is, it's very thrilling and exciting.
There is nothing better.
That is probably the best thing. That's why it's worth doing all this, even though it's not.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what we're constantly chasing, is like the first time your best friend in junior high, like broke you in class because they knew, like,
that's
locked
right.
in so much to what Matt thinks is funny.
Yes.
I'm going to lean in, hit him with what would it have been in my, I'm trying to think of what would have been my childhood. It would have been obviously a Dumb and Dumber, Chris Farley, any one of those references.
That's right, of course.
Before you knew to like make your own choices, you train in comedy by memorizing.
Yes. That's all it is. Yeah.
but I guess now I'm off the rails on another analogy, but like if you're a kid who loves basketball but hasn't had like formal basketball practice, but you're like, I'm Jordan, you know, like I'm doing what this guy, I don't know anything about sports, so I'm doing what this guy famously does. You know,
you were mimicking throwing a ball over your head.
Yeah. I was like, is it Dr. J that did the sky hook? Is like what I was going to say. And then I'm like, how old am I that my references are Jordan and Dr. J? But it's like, that's what you're doing. You're like, Chris Farley does this. And like, you just, when someone locks in as the same sense of humor as you,
Kareem
and you're
Abdul-Jabbar,
like,
by the way.
That's who I was thinking of. Yes. Luol Cinder, if you will.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So speaking of creative partnerships, I'm sitting across from one right now. I watched a couple episodes of Corporate. It's so fucking funny.
Thank you.
I was excited
much.
When I read the pilot and I didn't even know how cinematic, dare I say. Like, mm-hmm.
We're going for that.
Yeah. It looks fucking beautiful. Someone was saying the other day, a friend of mine, do you guys know Scotty Landis?
Yeah.
A friend of mine the other day was saying, like, the best shows on TV have a vibe. And yeah. I feel like I've got a vibe from corporate. Now, it's not necessarily a positive, exciting sure. vibe, but yeah. no one would think if you attached Jake to a project, it would yeah. have a, wow, this right. is a really yeah. sunny show.
This is uplifting.
Yeah. You know what's funny? It's funny, like on dates or when discussing the show, people are like, by the way, you're negative. And I'm like, oh, right. I know that. But everyone's like, yeah. I think of you, I think of negativity. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Cats, knives, casual suicide references. Yeah. The joke, I think it's in the first one where he's like, I'm gonna kill myself, and you're like, he took my idea.
Yeah.
It's like such a funny move.
Yeah, I do agree that the stuff I love the most has a personality that you can feel, and there's right. stuff that's like from the creative people bubbling to the surface a little bit. And I think thankfully Comedy Central let Jake and Pat Bishop, who directed and wrote it with us, and I have so much control over this that we couldn't help but inject it with
right.
our own sensibility.
I think so much comedy is watered down, and that's fine because it provides a lot of work for people, but like I think that the best things are, like, I hadn't really seen it from that angle. I haven't seen right. this before. That's what you're searching for.
It's
That's
almost appealing to be like, I'm not making corporate for everyone.
Right. No,
we're not. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. We're really not.
I think that's what you're talking about when you're watering it down. It's like everyone's trying to make something. I need something that's as huge success. And it's like, I don't want to make something that's successful enough that you keep letting me make it.
100%. Right, yeah. You want to make something. You want to be noticed by people who like you, but not by everyone. Right. And you can do that by not appealing to everyone.
Right.
Like there's a real positivity into making stuff just for people like you.
Well, it's also like... satisfying to know, like, look, I don't think my sense of humor is for everyone.
It's not.
But it is for these people. And if they find me, they're going to fuck. Because like,
exactly.
that's also talking about that vibe that when you're a kid and you find someone else who's like, oh. I also loved Monty Python.
It's such a relief.
And you're like, whoa.
Thank
yeah, like,
God.
It's yes. similar to a podcast. It's like, I just want those people to come back so I can keep doing this. I right. will be able to entertain these people over and over. Everyone else, fine. Yeah, yeah. Go do yeah. whatever you do.
But I will say, like, it's very, very funny, and it's cooler than it needs to be. You know what I mean? Like, it's like better than it needs to be a funny show. You
yeah,
know what I mean? Like,
much.
And
yeah.
I think that's like just the fucking everything, the look of it all. It's very like Fincher-esque, I say. It's like
that's yeah. what we're trying to go yeah. for. We're trying to like set, because I think a lot of comedy is very silly. And we're trying to make a drama that's funny.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we think, like, we want it to look like a drama, feel like a drama, because when you're at work, you feel like
yeah,
it's a drama.
It looks like Halt and Catch Fire, but it is.
Yeah. yeah. But it's silly and funny.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, what we like movies, and we also like comedies. So right. we just wanted to meld those.
And yeah. I think you guys did a great job. And then for the cast, I'm a diehard Lustig head.
Oh, well, he's Adam Lustig,
like, he's
is
like one
a
of
genius.
The,
thank God he's not famous yet, because
I know,
we
thank
got
God
him.
You guys
yeah.
got
yeah.
He is like... objectively magnetic.
Oh,
and it's like he
virtuoso
and a magician with, like, he can talk so fast and things occur to it. He's like he's incredible to
yeah
watch,
he has like the 85% you need in this business, like where he's just funny, talented, all that, but
yes.
then he has like the 15% that not everyone else has, where it's like he looks interesting, sounds interesting, is interesting.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like, not everyone has that.
He's
you know?
Also
and
someone that you can throw anything at, like,
okay,
line-wise, and
great,
he'll...
Great,
yeah.
Okay, great. That's great.
Great,
great,
yeah.
great
yeah.
idea, Matt. Great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, Jake. Hey, Jake. Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Oh, my God.
Going,
you're
guys?
Great. Yeah. I love you. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, my God.
It's been so much. Yeah.
Am I too much?
The greatest time.
Yes,
I've had the greatest time.
Yeah,
100%. And Aparna and Baron, like, these are all fucking
yeah.
funny
and
people.
Lance Reddick from The Wire
Jesus
is obviously,
yeah.
like,
my
the best
friends.
Thing
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
No, we try to get a lot of people from LA comedy, or just in comedy in general, that we think are incredible, and then just get the best actors possible and trick them into being in our
right.
show.
Wait, yeah. who was the dude who played Lockheed and the fake Lockheed Martin?
Philip Baker Hall.
Yeah, you had Philip
from,
Baker
from
Hall.
From Magnolia.
Yeah. Yeah, you had, like, one of fucking
PT's
guys.
We got a bunch of people from Paul Thomas Anderson's world. We just wanted to get dramatic actors to say funny shit. That's
right.
the best kind of comedy.
It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And Lance Reddick, yes, he's from The Wire, but I was also a diehard Fringe fan in between.
Oh, yeah. uh-huh.
So, like, and he's got even more of a presence in Fringe, and there's a couple of shots that feel like, you know, where it's like close up on his face. He's like, well, God damn it, get
yeah.
me in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
It's kind yes. of like porn. Like, I feel yeah. sexual while watching him say funny shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want him to go, are you fucking kidding me, Gabrus? Like,
yeah.
to my face so bad.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, the show's worth watching just to see him do his thing. Yeah, he's so
in
fucking
a comedy,
good.
Like, it's fucking great. So it's January.
It comes out January 17th at 10 p.m. It'll be on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. And you can also stream it on cc.com.
Oh, yeah. So this episode will come out on the 18th. So the first episode will be already out.
The first two will be out at that point.
The first two will be out.
First two on January 17th, but then there's one every week after that on Wednesdays at 10 p.m.
And you can, cc.com or the Comedy Central app, which you can download on your
smart TV. We think you'll really like it. It's good.
Yeah, I watched the first two episodes on CC. All four of them are out now. Mm-hmm. If people are not TV, don't have cable packages, whatever, get on and watch them all. Yeah. Guys, fucking great work on a show. Great
so
work
much.
On a show. So hard to tell someone else that their thing is good.
Thanks, dude.
Well, I
thank you for
it.
Making it actually good so I can get away with it on this podcast. Do you guys want to plug Twitter and people could tweet at us cats and dog arguments and stuff like that?
Yes, please. Yeah, we would love to hear your thoughts. I'm at Matt Ingebretson on both Twitter and Instagram.
At Weissman Jake.
And I'm always at John Gabris. Listen to... you guys don't have podcasts, by the way, right?
No.
All right. Not yet.
No, soon.
Well, no, you don't have a podcast. You know why? Because you have a TV show.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I just... Start brewing up a podcast.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
As always, I'm at John Gabris. Listen to Action Boys, the action movie podcast on Patreon, actionboys.biz. Listen to Raised by TV on Earwolf and rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments, buy a shirt, all that shit. Thanks, boys. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.